Well, today we're going to be looking at Isaiah, the 25th chapter. And before I read the scripture, there's one thing I want to do, because as I was sitting there, it just came over me. There's two guys that you don't get to see very often, and almost very rarely do you get to see them, because they're up on the soundboard and on the computer. And I am so thankful for Daniel and for Jonathan. For everything that they do. I appreciate Jonathan, because Jonathan's the one that's got to sit up there and follow along in the sermon and listen to when it's time to change the slides. Him and I never work that out. And I'm thankful for Jonathan, because he does an excellent job of putting together my notes with a picture I send or a picture that he finds. And I really appreciate what both of those guys do up there. I'm very, very thankful for them. And I think we all should be, because we don't notice them. The best kind of sound people and computer people to have are people that we never notice. Because that means everything's working right and everything's going well. A couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you noticed, but Daniel came down and stood next to me, and I'm like, I know we got a problem when I'm on the front row and the sound man comes and stands next to me. And he reached over, he says, your battery's running low, and gave me a new battery to change out in the microphone. So I just thank you guys for what you do up there, and I greatly appreciate it. I hope you will take some time to thank them when we can get them to come out of the balcony. I mean, I think they like living up there. I don't know what that is. So today is Isaiah, the 25th chapter. It has a new vision. It has a new understanding for us. It has an incredible picture, and it's a picture of what Rick just sung about for us, about Beulah Land and what it's going to be like. But there is a difference here. So listen for the differences as I read this scripture, starting in the first verse of the 25th chapter of Isaiah. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. You have made the city a heap of rubble and the fortified town a ruin. The foreigner's stronghold a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will honor you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in their distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driving against a wind. And like the heat of the desert, you silence the uproar of foreigners. As heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud, so the song of the ruthless is stilled. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich foods for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, God will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. God will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. God will remove his people's disgrace and all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will surely say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord, we trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Now, I'm sure as I read this, you notice that this is not the picture of our current world. Except maybe the first part of this, right? Ruinous towns, evil, ruthless people. All kinds of things going on. All I've got to do is pick up the newspaper, which I have a tendency not to. Turn on the news stations, which I never do. But if I were to do any of those things, look at news on the internet, I find over and over and over again talk about ruthless, evil, hard things, don't I? I've been told that's what sells newspapers. What sells newspapers and what sells advertisement on news channels is these bad stories. But it brings us to this these two questions that we ask quite a bit. Why is the world in this current state of terrible unrest? And will it ever get better? Why is the world in this current situation of terrible unrest? And will it ever get better? I've been told through all of my years that the world's getting worser and worser and worser, right? So is my grammar as I go on. It's getting worser and worser and worser. That's what I've been told. This world is becoming an even badder place than it used to be. When I was growing up as a kid, I could run the streets and didn't have to worry about what might happen. Right? I could be up and down the road doing different things on my street where I lived, and I didn't have to worry about somebody maybe stopping and getting me or doing something horrible to me other than the bullies in the neighborhood. Because they were still there, okay? We just didn't talk about them. And I want you to realize, too, that as we think back, we often think back of the good times only. We don't think back about what hard things happened as we were growing up. We think about the good times mostly. And when people talk about, oh, I remember the good old days. Does anybody ever come around and go, oh, I remember the bad old days? We don't remember that part, do we? We don't talk about that part. But we wonder about this. Will it ever get any better? For those folks who come to me and tell me that the world is in a horrible condition and it's not going to get better and it's only going to get worse, I'd love to bring out a quote to them, for them, that comes from about 400 BC. And it talks about how horrible kids are, that they don't pay attention to adults anymore, that they don't show proper respect anymore. And folks, that was in 400 BC. And we keep saying, oh, the world's getting worse. Somebody in 400 BC said that they had the same problems we have. It's not any different. But what this scripture talks about is when it's going to be, there is going to be a coming day when things will be completely different. Amen? Completely different than we find them now. Completely. All of these ruinous things, all of these horrible things that are talked about in the first five verses of this passage that I read today, they're all going to be gone. It says the city is going to be a heap of rubble. The stronghold city will be no more. Okay? Ruthless nations will now revere God, not be against God. And God, even during that time and up to this moment, has always been a refuge for us. Right? Always been a refuge for us. A place that we can go to. A place of safety. A place of comfort. Right? And we can go to God and find that. And that's one of the reasons that I will always bring to the forefront that we need to slow down some so that we can find that place of refuge and we can find that place of comfort. Because you know what's a horrible thing? When trouble comes and you don't know where the refuge is. When trouble comes and you don't know how to find shelter. And if you've been so busy running around, you might not be able to find it when the trouble comes. We need to identify with it in our everyday life. But there is coming a day when things will be completely different than we know them in this world. And that's the vision I think we need to catch. That's the vision and the understanding that we need to see is that God is going to bring a day when it's completely different. I mean, I'm glad when I get to heaven, it's going to be completely different. And I'm glad it's going to look different. I'm glad it's going to feel different. I'm glad it's going to be exciting. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that day? Do you have that kind of vision? And do you realize that that day is possible for all people? All people. Even that person that cut you off this morning as you were traveling to church. That day is still for that person. Even for that person in Walmart that took the last item off the shelf and that's what you wanted. That's never happened to any of us, and we've never had any hard feelings about that, have we? I want you to understand, it's for all people, because we have a tendency to envision what things are going to be like when we get there. And we have a tendency that it's going to be just the same as we experience on Sunday every day, right? So St. Peter's walking these folks around heaven, and there's a door here, and they ask St. Peter, who's behind that door? And he says, well, that's where the United Methodists go. And then they're walking on a little bit longer, and there's another door, and he says, well, what's this door for? Well, that's where all the Presbyterians are. And then they're walking on a little bit longer, and St. Peter goes, shh, shh. And they finally get past that door, and they ask St. Peter, what's behind that door? Well, that's the Baptist, and they think they're the only ones here. You see, folks, heaven's for all people. There's not going to be any denominations in heaven. And in my experience as a minister, my experience of working with other denominations, doing worship services, doing retreats with them, I have found that there are Christians in every Christian denomination. Every Christian denomination has Christians. Can you believe that? It doesn't matter what they believe or how they live. I have found that there have been Christians in every denomination without fail. And I've also found there's a lot of other people in different denominations that maybe have not made a commitment yet. And that's part of the thing that's key to all of this. You see, this is open for all people. Five different times in this passage does it talk about all. Five times that word is used. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples. All peoples. Every denomination, every race, every tribal culture, everybody, no matter where we go, God is preparing this feast for everyone. Now, not everyone accepts the invitation, but it is being prepared for everyone, and everyone has an opportunity to accept that invitation. And it's up to each person to do that. My family doesn't get into heaven because I believe in Jesus Christ. They have to believe in Jesus Christ. But the opportunity is open for every person. So, a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, God will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. God will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. God will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. Not just the select people we like. Not the select people we choose to interact with, but all peoples, all nations, all places on the earth. And what's going to happen for all? This is what excites me more than anything else. There will be, now listen to these things, that there will be in heaven a feast of the very best foods and wines. A feast of the very best foods and wines. You know what that means? That means I get to eat pork again, and I get to eat peanuts again. Because it says all foods, doesn't it? And I don't think God's going to give me a heavenly body that's allergic to those things. I tell you what, if some nice vinegar barbecue is not on the banquet table, it will be ordered when I get there. Because that's my favorite, and I can't eat it now. My son asked me the other night, because he has some of the nut allergies that I have. I got it from him, by the way. He passed it on to me. He asked me the other night, he says, isn't there some nights you just want to go get some peanut butter? I was like, oh, yes. And Philip looks at me, and he says, finally, somebody else that understands what I go through. And Deanne brought out the soybean peanut butter, and both Philip and I were like, no, 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 no. It may look like peanut butter. It might smell like peanut butter. It's not peanut butter, and we're not eating it. If I can't have the real thing, I don't want something that pretends to be it. You know, a feast of the very best foods and wines, that's what will be there. No more death ever again. Never again will we be separated from our loved ones. All of those who accept the invitation to go to this feast by accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, all will be there for all eternity, and death will not separate us anymore. Wow. The next one is something that gets confused, I think, by many people. The next one says that tears will physically be wiped away by God. This passage does not say that there will be no tears in heaven. And even the passage in the book of Revelation does not say that there will be no tears in heaven. How many of you have ever cried tears of joy? Gosh, I bet my tears are going to flow when I can finally stand before Jesus Christ. The emotions are going to flood over me so much, and it says that God is going to reach out and wipe away those tears. To physically not only see my Savior, but to feel the very touch of my God wiping away my tears. Wow! That's an incredible image, isn't it? And it also says the disgraced will be removed from God's people. No more disgrace. We won't feel bad about all the things that we've done in the past. That disgrace will be wiped away in the presence of a God and a feast and of wines and a God who reaches out. All of that is going to be fantastic, isn't it? All of that is going to be incredible to see and to experience. Now, here's the thing to understand about this whole passage. This will be a day of powerful changes for those who committed their lives to God. This will be a day of powerful changes for those who committed their lives to God. Just because you lived on this earth doesn't mean you get to go to the banquet. Just because you came from a good family doesn't mean you get to go to heaven and experience God wiping away tears. You've got to make a commitment. And that commitment is not a one-time only commitment. That commitment happens every morning before your feet hit the floor. That commitment happens when you sit down for breakfast. That commitment's going to happen again when you sit down for lunch. That commitment goes when you get in your car to go to work. It is a continuous, ongoing commitment that must be done over and over again every day of our lives. Those are the people who can accept that invitation to this feast. Not the people who came to church so many times. Not the people who joined a church and have their name on the roll of a church. That doesn't get you into heaven. And I've met those people, by the way. Came to church and they accepted Jesus Christ and they joined the church and they never came back again. And if you call them and ask them if they're interested in having their names removed from the church roll, oh, no, 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 no. That's the day I bought my ticket into heaven. You can't erase my name because that's the day I bought my ticket into heaven. No, it's not. Maybe that's the day you started a commitment, but you didn't follow through with it. And that's the emphasis I want you to see. This feast is absolutely incredible, absolutely stupendous. I can't even see how long the table is right now. That table is so long, so far, and so wide. Even though I come from a family, my mother and father and my grandparents, we came from a family that did Thanksgiving all day. And when I say Thanksgiving all day, that means there was never a place on the table to put a plate. That table was full all day with food. From 9 in the morning till 7 at night at least. That table had food on it. And when a plate was emptied, it was refilled and put back on the table. Incredible. I come from a family that when it comes to Thanksgiving, we didn't sit down at the table. You found a place where you could sit down somewhere in the house and put your plate on your lap. And I remember that table, and I have tried as best I can for my kids to recreate that table when we do Thanksgiving. The only thing I don't have here while we're in the mountains is at the table for my folks, there was always at least 5 pounds of steamed shrimp. Already peeled. You didn't have to do any work. And homemade cocktail sauce. There was the kind that everybody wanted, and there was the kind that me, my dad, and my brother wanted. That would light you on fire. There was turkey, there was ham, there was everything. This is what heaven is going to be, the scripture says. This feast and this wines and everything that you can see and death no more. But it's only for those who commit their lives to Jesus Christ each and every moment of their day. It's not for somebody who does it occasionally. Or in times of great trouble and need. So here's what I want to ask you. Does there exist for you this positive vision of what God is going to do one day? Does it exist for you? Can you see that vision? And then I guess I need to ask the more important question. Are you committed so that you can get an invitation and accept it? Are you committed so that you can get an invitation and accept it? Let us pray. Lord, what a powerful word you've given to us. What a powerful image and painting and picture that we have here. How incredible it is. Incredible to think that all the foods that we love the most will be on the banquet table. Incredible to think that death will exist no more. No longer will we have the separation from our loved ones and our brothers and sisters in the faith. And Lord, you'll touch each one of us and wipe away our tears. And Lord, it'll be about praising you. It'll be about being excited. It'll be about having smiles on our faces at all times, because we live in the presence of an incredible God. So Lord, help us to grab that vision and live it even now before you bring it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.